Well, there was a man named Sir Moses Monefore, you know, a Hebrew philanthropist. Boy, I'm having trouble. And one of his family mottos was this: think and thank. Okay, and really, what's interesting about that is the word thinking. This idea of thinking, because in the Anglo-Saxon language, thankfulness came from thinkfulness. You are thinking a lot, and you, therefore you're thinking. We sang last week, I think, we sang Count Your Blessings. Anyway, we need to think about them and count them. Thinking of all of God's goodness to us stirs up and helps us to express the gratitude that's in our hearts. And like the early pilgrims, the church is an alien people in a foreign land. That's what the pilgrims were, and they were in a hostile world in many ways. There was a legend, an old pilgrim legend, of an evil Indian medicine man who hated the Christians, hated the pilgrims. And so he saw a minister, he put a spell on him, and the minister began to sink in quicksand in a bog, and he couldn't get out. And so he said, "The power of God is greater than your power. I challenge you to a time of endurance, a duel of endurance." And so the Indian sat down and said, "Okay." He said, "My God's power is greater than your God, and we'll find out who endures." So they sat there for a little while, a day or two, and then they got hungry and thirsty. And a white dove began to come and drop a little red berry into the hand of the minister. So he started eating these red berries. And he was okay. But the Indian didn't have any spell against doves. So pretty soon he just sort of like fell over from exhaustion. And then the spell was broken. The minister got out. And then just as the minister got out, this white dove was dropping another one of those berries. And it hid into the bog, and it became the cranberry growing in bogs. So, a great legend. I like it. That's why at Thanksgiving we eat cranberry sauce to celebrate our gratitude to God for His watch care over us. I'd never heard that legend before. It's really interesting. But evil medicine men are not our problem. That's not our problem. The hostility against the church is the powers of darkness that Jesus has actually conquered and had victory over and defeated at the cross. And Psalm 118 helps us to think about God's watch care and to thank Him for it. As we go through this, we're going to see that this psalm is actually a historical psalm about victory in war, in battle time. And it's a song of victory. That's prophetic in its significance to us. It's prophetic to us. It's a psalm that thanks God for victory, but we can join this psalm in praising God for the victory He's given to us through Jesus Christ. The Christian has great reasons, and this psalm lists some of them, for celebrating, why we should celebrate and why we should have thanksgiving. So first of all, we thank God for the open door in the psalm. In verse 19 it says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord." What door should we want opened for us? What is the door that we want opened for us? Well, the world wants the door of power and prestige and prosperity to open. But God wants something better for us. God wants, as it says in Matthew 3:16, for us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, those desires, they're not really foreign to us. They're not alien to us. We do want those things. We want to have power, prestige, and prosperity. Those are human desires. But God wants something better for us. And what is something that is really, really precious, and that is His presence. The attitude of gratitude is the doorway into God's presence. In verse 20, it says, "This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter." Open the gate of righteousness that I may enter in. That's the issue here. And in verse 21 it says, "I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation." The gate of righteousness saves us from our enemy, the enemy of our souls, and it's through this open door. This open door of forgiveness. God has given us forgiveness for our sin, which Satan tries to accuse us of. Oh, you look, he's a sinner. Yeah, but I'm a sinner that has been forgiven. My sins have been pardoned. The penalty of sin has been taken by Christ on the cross. So we ask forgiveness for the penalty of sin, so we'll be free from that penalty. But it's also through Jesus that he has given us the door of salvation from the power of sin. From, not just from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. The gate of righteousness stands open for everyone. And symbolically, this is the door of the open church. I mean, we say, open the door, let the people in, you know, if they want to come, then worship the Lord. It's like, whosoever will may come, is what the church says, or the call of Christ to the church, to the world. And it's interesting, but as a kid, I used to envision how if people's eyes could be opened, their spiritual eyes, that they would see demonic things around bars and brothels and things, places that are evil. They would see demons lurking around, and if their spiritual eyes were open, they would see churches had angels hovering above them or inside of them and all around them, and they would be flocking to the churches to get away. But they don't have their spiritual eyes open. But this gate of righteousness isn't always entered into because of that. They don't see. And Jesus warned us in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus himself is that gate. He claimed to be the gate in John 10. He said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Jesus is the open door that we invite people through. It's not to the church, really. It's to Jesus. We invite them to Jesus for his salvation. He invites us, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But some do reject his invitation. But look at verse 22 and 23. "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And this is our second point in this message. We thank God for the solid rock. He is the rock. And we thank him for being the solid rock. You know, we think about this capstone or this cornerstone. I actually preached on that not too long ago. And this cornerstone, this stone of foundational stone, is not feelings. It's not feelings about Christ, because those are shifting. Those are unstable. It's not doctrines about Christ, because those just describe the rock. They describe the rock, Christ Jesus. And it's not the example of Christ. He gave a great example, but it's his character, the character of the rock. And it's not the church. It's not the church of Christ. We say, we're it. No, no. We are following him. That's what the church is. And the church is built on that rock. So we're inviting people to the rock. The rock is Christ Jesus himself. God laid his son down as the foundation, a sure foundation for our salvation. And we marvel and give thanks, as the scripture says. When I was a kid, I always got seasick. when I went out on the bay, when I took out to go fishing. I love to go fishing, but I got out on that boat up and down. Pretty soon, I was emptying whatever I ate that morning into the side and feeding the fish that way. I have to say, my dad had that, and I inherited it from him. He was in the Navy, and he had to stay on land. He got so sick every time he got into a boat. So anyway, I inherited it honest, and I was so glad when I could get back on land and set my feet on solid ground. I loved it, you know, and I was looking forward to it. Thank God that Jesus is that solid rock for our faith. There's a song written by Priscilla Owens called "We Have an Anchor," and I just want to read one of the verses of this. When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Because He is our rock, we can give thanks to God for a new day. And verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Each new day is a gift from God. God has shut the door on the past, and He is keeping the future in His care while He is giving us 24 hours to make today count. To make today, these 24 hours a day, to make them count for God, for eternity. I don't know how many of you saw Groundhog Day, the movie. I have seen it again and again and again, just like the guy that went through the movie went again and again and again. What happened in Groundhog Day, it's such a funny story, a great story, is a disgruntled meteorologist that's a weatherman for the TV show. His name is Phil Collins. He is stuck in Punxsutawney, where they have that Groundhog Day thing, you know, in celebration of will the groundhog see his shadow. And that same day happens over and over and over again. Every time he wakes up, he's waking up to that day again. He's going through it, and he's really a terrible guy. But he gets a new view of life through all of that, so that he makes his day count really well. He makes his day count really well before he can move on to the next day. You know, it's a very, very good story of the redemption of that guy in a way. And each day with the Lord is a new day. It's made, God has made us a new day. This is the day the Lord has made, in which people are invited by God to make new meaning in their lives, find new meaning in their lives. And they can do this by entering the gate of righteousness and by building their lives on the rock, Christ Jesus. For us, part of this new day is our corporate celebration, which we're doing right now, the corporate celebration, the corporate life of the church. In verse 25 and 26, it says, "O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." As we pray, as we pray for deliverance and success, we want to have success. When we bless each other from the house of the Lord, we bless each other. And when we celebrate the Thanksgiving of communion at this table, when we have it every month, the Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving, we are as a group showing forth this new day of, hey, let's give meaning to this day. Well, it's a lonely time for some people, Thanksgiving Day. It's especially lonely for atheists. I always say, all dressed up and no one to thank. You know, it's really sad. Because they want to celebrate, they want to give Thanksgiving, but who are they going to give it to? Who are they going to thank for the people that they are thankful for? What they really need is a Groundhog Day to get them straightened out. Something that repeats over and over until they get it right. But anyway, a Groundhog Day experience. Hopefully we won't have to do that. Hopefully God will give us this day and we'll make it right. But they can't get it right until they find that new day in Christ. They have to find that new day in Christ, a new way of life in Him. And we thank God for a true faith, a true faith. Are you thankful for God being a God of light? That's what it says in this passage. God who communicates, God who reveals His truth. That's the kind of God we have, a God of light. In 27, first part, it says, "The Lord is God. He has made His light shine on us." He's the God of truth. He's going to reveal truth to us. He's done it through His Word. And our response, what is our response? Why, our response is to come to the altar, as it says in verse 27, with bows or bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Now, in the Old Testament, that altar was a place of thanksgiving where animal sacrifices were used as part of worship, to worship God. Jesus became that final sacrifice in the New Testament. And now we give thanks at the New Testament altar. We call this table our altar because it's the table representing what Jesus did that we can be thankful for, His sacrifice on the cross, which is a place, the cross is for us, a place of renewing our commitment. As we come to this table, we renew our commitment again and again and again, saying, "Yes, I do take You, Lord, as my Lord and Savior, into myself to be my husband, my king, my master, my Lord, my teacher, my guide." And it's so wonderful for us to have this table and be able to experience it. This psalm ends the same way it began, with thanksgiving. It says in verse 28 and 29, and one of these verses is a repeat of verse 1, which we did read in the responsive reading. But it says in verse 28 and 29, "You are my God, and I will give You thanks. You are my God, I will exalt You. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever." The Christian has great reasons to give thanks, to have a Thanksgiving celebration. And the Christian faith is a life that's supposed to be lived in gratitude. Christians should be known as the most grateful people on the planet. The gate of righteousness has opened up for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. The rock of Christ is whom we build our lives upon. The new day of birth into God's kingdom has brought us new meaning in life. And a true faith in the true God, the trustworthy God of truth, is what we are thankful for. These are treasures the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in them. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this word. And Lord, You are so precious to us. And we want to thank You for so many of the blessings You have given to us. These psalms are helping us to remember what we should be thankful for, sort of jogging our memories, making us to think so we might thank. And I pray, Father God, that You would bless us to be a people of gratitude, that people will know us as people who know Christ, and these Christians are people of gratitude. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.